5 metres back. Bernard Foley's got the legs. It's got the legs. The distance.
Hello and welcome to Pick and Drive Rugby. I'm your host Ando, and this is a special episode that you will want to hear. I know I said I was taking a break, but when a yarn this special lands at your feet, you just want to talk rugby. This is a story of some everyday people that live and breathe rugby coming together to make sure rugby thrives in the northwest of Sydney. With me is Julian Perrottet, one of the most passionate lovers of rugby going around. He's an actor, a writer, a teacher, and a recently retired Subbies rugby player. But most importantly, he had a dream for a new competition called the North West Schools Rugby Championship. So, Julian, welcome. And, mate, why start a new competition? What problem was there that you were trying to solve?
Thanks, Ando. Firstly, I'd like to say I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but I am doing some preliminary work on trying to play one more season,
was a lot said about your last game of rugby, mate.
Yeah, I know, but anyway, we'll see. During the building of this competition, it's so exciting being around rugby, and it's now building the environment in the area, like the whole region, and you start seeing the feedback from the different schools, particularly schools like William Clark and Arndell, who have had really great rugby attendance. William Clark have had the charity shield there, right? Yep. They've got these great schools involved, but there's no tournament for them to play in.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other founding schools, Redfield, was playing in the ISA.
Yep.
That began to not work for them, and Div 2 ISA is becoming much weaker. There's schools that are on the other side of Sydney merging.
Yep.
They're really trying to keep it alive.
And a lot of schools outside of Sydney as well. If I'm right, there was sometimes commutes from northern Sydney down to the Southern Highlands or up to Central Coast Grammar for some games.
Yeah, Central Coast. Down to Barrel, I think. And I think just with, like, certainly with Redfield, you've got a system where all of the sports are local except for rugby. Now, regionally, nationally, we've got a rugby enrollments problem. Branding's not great. Hopefully, it's just about to change. And when I grew up in that area, we played rugby against everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody was playing. Hills Grammar's number one sport is ping pong at the moment. North Home have 9 rugby players across their entire school.
Wow.
So there is a need to rebuild the region.
Mm.
And there is a great rugby history there. And it's just making sure that we have a place, a local place to play.
Yeah.
And I know from Arndell and William Clark, I called them and they were like, man, we've been waiting on a call like this for years because we I've just been getting our boys to train and train and train. Next year we'll come around, we'll get a trial match here, a trial match there. And, you know, you might only play 3 games in a year. And these guys, you know, really trying to build something. So Redfield had this problem. They're pulling out of the ISA. They moved into the Hill Zone tournament for all of their sports. Rugby, the Hill Zone don't have a rugby competition.
Because of what you were just saying, there's smaller schools in the area or some of the larger schools, the demographic or the playing stocks have shifted.
Yeah, for sure. So there's too much work for Hill Zone to keep rallying up rugby business.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of the size of rugby teams and all of that sort of stuff, it's a whole logistical thing in itself.
Yep.
And so Hill Zone still have its own pathway. So there's still, you can become a Hill Zone representative rugby player and play in the Hill Zone team and so on and so forth until you make it to schoolboy rugby. But there's no competition itself. And so I was like, look, there's a need here. And I do believe that the region has great quality players. I've played in this area for 25 seasons of rugby. And I just want to see it revitalized. Like, I want to see it flourish and having worked in school environments, let's just tailor it to schools. So really there's been two models that a lot of these schools have worked with before in competitions. One is the local Eastwood competition all of those years ago that I used to play in. So you're a school playing in a
club competition.
In a club competition. Yep. And then the other is a school playing in a school competition, but the school competition, to make sure that they have the teams, is so vast.
To draw in enough schools that can actually participate in it.
Yeah, yep. And in order to maintain two divisions and all of that sort of business, that it just becomes impossible to have everybody invested the whole time. Yep. Yeah, so that's where the problem was there's no place that we can go, this is a home of rugby for schools.
And so from that need, from that challenge that is facing kind of the region and the independent, we're talking independent schools within the Hills zone, is that correct?
Not necessarily.
Okay, cool.
So it's open to anybody, right? It's open to anybody. There are requirements to join the competition that everybody can get behind. Independent schools will find it easier to do it just because the schools, independent schools, tend to be masters of their own destinies a little bit. They can move things around. They can, you know, they don't need to be standardized across all of the public schools.
Public schools are diocese schools if it's a Catholic school.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not ruled out and we will welcome them. They just have some different hurdles that independent schools don't have.
Sure. Okay. So there's this problem wanting to revitalize and create a competition that serves the needs of the schools, like you've mentioned. Talk us through what it actually looks like. And we've already mentioned some of those schools. So what is the competition itself? What's the structure? What's it going to look like moving forward?
Cool. Yeah. So it's a round robin competition, just like any sort of sports comp. We started off with Redfield, William Clark, Arndell, and then I went searching for a fourth school. So I spent about 3 months speaking to every single head of sport in the region to try to get a team across the line, because at that stage I still needed the school to come on to fit all three divisions. Mm-hmm. So the structure is not only just four teams playing each other, but there's three divisions. So there's the first 15, which is year 11 and 12 students. Mm-hmm. Again, everything's school orientated, right? So it's not age group, it's year group. Now you still need to adhere to the New South Wales dispensation laws and stuff like this that they've got. But it's essentially, so it's first 15, year 11 and 12, you've got the intermediate, year 9 and year 10, and then you've got the youth, year 7 and year 8. And so originally I really wanted a school to come in that would fit all three of those. Then it'd be nice and cute. It wouldn't have to, you know.
It'd make it easy, hey? But life's never that neat. So no. What happened?
So we did have a school come in, and there was a lot of pressure from some of the schools to go public on this. Redfield had its own situation because it was pulling out of a competition that many believed was working, many believed didn't work. So it was a bit all over the joint there. And so we needed to lock someone in and lock someone in fast. Mm-hmm. And between you and me, it may have been a little bit of a fake it till you make it situation with these guys.
Yep.
They were keen and everything, you know.
Just wasn't 100% signature on a dotted line.
Yeah. There's no blood in the handshake at this stage. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we launch it publicly, like this is going to happen to the schools, put it in their newsletters and stuff like this. This is the direction we're going in, this new tournament. I sit down, I'm doing the artwork for the crest and all of this sort of stuff, have a letterhead and all this sort of business. Yep. And then they pull out.
Oh, great.
So they pull out, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Tell nobody. Right? So then I spend the next couple of months trying to lock in another team.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm working, and at this stage, we're working with Eastwood Rugby. Mm. Craig Hawkins out there, the development operations manager at Eastwood, is a fantastic bloke, run off his feet doing a million different things. But he, because Eastwood is moving their home ground, they're building a new home ground in Castle Hill that will be ready in 2026. They're doing development programs in all of these schools, all the schools, right? So that will have them. So he's doing great stuff. And so he was helping me get into some contact with some different people and all of this. And then New South Wales Rugby were helping out, but at this stage, they still weren't very like, oh, this is actually going to be a thing.
They're like, who are you? What is this comp? Like,
yeah.
Just a bit unsure of what the whole situation was.
The only time I've had interactions with New South Wales Rugby before this was with the head of New South Wales Rugby, Mark Graham. Mm-hmm. And it was about 15 years ago. And me and my mate, after doing a rugby web series, a comedy series, was asked by them to host the New South Wales Suburban Rugby Awards evening.
Oh, brilliant. So that's the one interaction.
Yeah, okay.
Now they're here winning.
It went very well, by the way. They asked us back.
Oh, good.
We turned them down.
Your asking price was too high, obviously.
Yeah.
So you're setting up this comp, the Northwest Schools Rugby Championship, Rugby New South Wales.
So they get
wind of it.
Yeah, so they're very supportive of the idea of getting something up, but they were very like, man, don't bite off more than you can chew. Just start as a like a gala day kind of thing. And that was very much not what I wanted.
Yeah.
But I wanted, like, you see these big competitions that have been around for 100 years. These schools have this fantastic history and all of these things that mean so much to them. I wanted that in our first year. I want, like as you mentioned before at the top of this, the artist within me, the production designer and all of that sort of stuff. I wanted to give the kids an experience that they won't get anywhere else unless they go and play for the Waratahs or the Wallabies or something like that. I was part of Redfield's first 15, the first ever. Running out to the full school was one of my favorite sporting moments. It was just something I'd never experienced before.
Yeah.
And I went, I want to give this experience on steroids to all of the schools that want to be involved. William Clark, Arndale. And then so we got Windsor High.
Oh, Windsor High.
Yeah, so Windsor High is in, right?
Windsor High are in. Good for them.
Yeah, so that's great. David out there, fantastic bloke. He pulls it all together. They're super psyched. And as they're preparing for the tournament, which starts in 27 days, by the way, they're playing a league gala day tournament. And so they go and play that, and five of their players get injured and will not be playing for the rest of the year.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So he calls me up.
That's why you should play union rather than league.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
So he calls you up.
He calls me up and goes, mate, we've got a problem.
Yep.
So this is 5 weeks out from the start of the comp. Everything's set up in Rugby Explorer. It's all good to go, right? Kids are being enrolled in the everything. Calls me up and goes, mate, we've got a problem on our hands. I'm going to try to see if I can snag some boys from down the road, but there might be a problem. Anyway, so he calls me about a couple of days later. Dude, we're out. So this is 4.5 weeks out from the start of the tournament. And but I get this email from Arndell saying, hey, our brother's school out at Penrith are keen to trial game here or there or something like this.
Yep.
All right, no worries. Talk to him. And the way he responded when I was on the phone, mind you, when I first spoke to him, it wasn't confirmed that Windsor was out.
Yep.
So the way he was responding, this guy got it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I need to get these guys in as soon as possible,
yep,
particularly if Leighton, the guy out there, is headhunting the rugby stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And then the next day I get the call from Windsor and then that they're out. So I let Leighton know, dude, you're in for the whole thing if you want. A couple of days later, he calls me. I'm on a documentary shoot and drop everything. I get his call and he's like, dude, we're in. So now we're back on track.
Oh, God. Okay. And so what we're looking at now is a four-school rugby competition coming into its first year, starting in 27 days from the time of recording. And there's some pretty amazing stuff that I've seen. So I've got some insider knowledge and seen the shield and heard about the kind of the trophies, if we want to call them that, for the intermediate and the junior competitions. The junior competition is, what, a golden chalice?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's probably not real 24 karat gold, but either way, it's looking pretty good.
It depends on what type of sponsors we get.
Depends. That could come. The intermediate trophy is what two axes cast into stone.
Yep.
And the championship trophy, or the first 15 trophy, is this incredible full scale, like medieval heraldic shield.
Yeah.
It just looks absolutely incredible. So talk me through the trophy design and why it puts your kind of traditional urn with a couple of drinks put into the middle of it to shame.
Well, everything about this needed to be next level.
Mm.
And that was one of the things at the beginning that was sort of like getting schools across the line to understand what it was, my vision was. Yep. And on paper, when you're having a couple of drinks or whatever, people are happy to be like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, let's have a shield and let's make it a literal shield that has the handholds in the back so you could take it into battle if you needed to.
Yeah, and build it like it's been to battle. Because if you look at it from the perspective of the guys who are being handed the shield, they've just battled through an entire season and a grand final. So why give them something fresh off the shelf of, you know, your local trophy shop, give them something that is, it means as much. Like this shield, it's built by a guy called Matthew out at Aussie Manufacturer. And they build the most incredible stuff. I actually went on like, you know, those sites where people, those events where people dress up, there's medieval.
Excuse me. Yes, I know. I have tickets booked for the next one. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting in chain mail right now, actually.
Yes, I am.
So I contacted him and then I pitched him the idea and he was on board straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, dude, let's make it like they made it.
Yeah, so it would smithed it.
Yeah, the whole thing,
yep.
Right? There's a little bit at the front that's 3D printed, but that's just because of the logo that I designed for the competition and all of that sort of business. So he did that and he's fantastic. He was so proud of it. He drove up from Bathurst where the factory is and handed it to me and he was proud as punch, and so he should be. It looks fantastic. Mm. Once we had the shield, right, once I had it and I took it to the schools, that's where the penny dropped.
They saw that they were able to connect the vision of creating a competition that people would want to be a part of to this idea of going bigger.
Yeah.
And this idea of building excitement and engagement and buy-in from both the participants and the broader audience.
Yeah. And I think talking to the boys has been one of the great things. Now, the students don't make the decisions around the school. So you need the staff to be involved. So one of the things also that is paramount to the competition is the community nature,
yeah.
Right? It can't just be schools playing each other. It needs to be a community of people building these really charitable relationships that are also rivals.
Yeah, definitely. Right? It can be both.
I remember sitting down, having some beers with some of the guys because I got all of the coaches to come in and do a level one coaching course with New South Wales because whilst you might have the shields and the this and the that and all of that sort of stuff, if it's bad rugby, it's bad rugby.
Yeah.
Right? But I want good rugby. So there's a minimum qualification. Everyone needs to have their level one to coach in the tournament, and it's advised that first 15 coaches are working to their level twos.
Yep.
This just gives you incredible insight and upskilling constantly and that sort of stuff. And so we do that as a group of coaches. So get them all in, you go have a lunch together, finish off the course, go have a couple of drinks or whatever, sit around and just talk about and become friends. That's what we want. We want friendships, and then friendships within the schools.
Yeah.
We've got this incredible area and all these great schools that have been around for so long, but they are sort of islands to one another. And this is just such a great way. And so I was sitting there, I was like, guys, what I really need is when you guys turn up at each other's schools, I want intimidation factors. Get your school band involved. Flood the opposition sheds. Like, do whatever it is you need to do.
Make sure there's just like a localized power outage changing rooms.
There's an unfortunate kind of beehive in there or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
it's got to be this thing which is done through a lot of fun and joy,
yep,
and riling each other up, and get the school involved. Mm. William Clark, Arndell, I was talking to Ben Allen out there the other day, and they've been working on a school song. They've been running it at assemblies and stuff like this. So they're just going to get the band involved.
Yeah.
Redfield's hosting their games at 2:00. So the whole school's coming to watch their games in the comp's opening year. So that's really great. They've got some things going on. Mm-hmm. But everyone's sort of really working to this experience for the school,
yeah,
but also with each other.
Yep.
And so that's why at the end of the season, so first 15 play in term 2,
mm-hmm,
intermediate and youth, they play in term 3.
Yeah, cool.
Right. And then at the end of that, we have like a daily EMS. We're going to have an awards night, real glossy thing.
Yep.
There's going to be, you know, your coach of the year, player of the year, all of those sorts of awards. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a, for the first 15 division, your best prop, your best hooker across all of them.
Yep.
And they will wear the competition strip, and we will play schools after the competition's over. We'll play schools that are looking to join the competition.
With a combined following team year. From yeah. those selected within the best of those positions.
Yeah. So that's super exciting as well. It's like having this, now not only are we playing each other and hanging out with each other and all of that sort of stuff, but now we'll play with each other. We'll dress up and go to a night, have a night out, like this whole thing, and just make it such an experience that yep. they'll just really never forget.
Yeah, so hearing this, it seems like it is, the competition is trying to balance this level of enthusiasm and fun and enjoyment with trying to take itself quite seriously at the same time. Like it's doing both.
Sure.
It's in the entertainment industry, it's trying to build those experiences, but also be a serious comp too.
Mm.
Now, looking at that, we're talking about small independent schools, primarily in the northwest of Sydney. What are the pathways then for students within these competitions? Is it something that has been a discussion with New South Wales Rugby? If a student is wanting to then progress into the kind of broader CIS competition, is that possible? Talk us through that level.
Well, the short-term goal for the competition is to get through year one.
Right? Yeah, that is probably a good start, isn't it? And then have people come back for you too.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. Otherwise, I've gone grey for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, although it would be a great 1 year.
It would be.
So, next year, we're looking to open a women's sevens arm of the tournament.
Yeah, great.
And then within the next handful of years, we look to roll out the competition in the women's and the men's 15s into primary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there is a 3 to 4 year plan to have 6 divisions in the boys 15, 6 divisions of sevens in the girls, and really take on as many schools, because by 2027, when we host the World Cup here, yeah, I want to have 6 teams across all 3 divisions. Oh, sorry, 6 teams across all 6 divisions in both arms of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a lot of work to be done, but I think that this has so much scope and so much energy behind it that we can achieve that.
Yeah.
If we get to that point, there is a very real conversation that I would like to have where we become our own pathway.
Mm.
At the moment, the schools have their own pathways. Like if you're in the Hill Zone have their own pathways. Right, and all of that sort of business. Now, you've got to balance all of these sort of things out with, you can't just go rogue doing whatever you want, because the end of the day, yes, we're after great experiences for the kids, but we're after rebuilding rugby.
Yep.
We're after rebuilding grassroots rugby. Like, this is what the whole thing's about.
Yep.
And so we need to have a comprehensive plan for ourselves, but that needs to be working with New South Wales Rugby.
Definitely.
And so it's been really good to be upfront with them. Hey, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I want. Blah, 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 blah. What's realistic? What's not? Usually when someone says something is not realistic, I take that as a challenge.
Sounds like it from the direction of this entire conversation. Yes.
The opposition defiance, man.
Yeah.
coming into fruition. So I would love one day for us to not only for that representative team in our competition strip to not just be for exhibition matches, mm-hmm. for eventually to become its own pathway. And that would be awesome. I mean, one of the best things that I would love is looking back and seeing a player at schoolboy level rugby or higher having come through this competition pathway, mm-hmm. representing this region. Mm-hmm. I think that would just be really, really amazing.
Wonderful. Mm. Well, mate, there is a lot to be excited about with this. I think that we're kind of getting to the end of the conversation here because a lot of it's still to come. A lot of it's still to come. I mean, 27 days until it kicks off, and there is going to be one heck of a party when we get to the grand final as well. From what we were talking about, some pyrotechnics, some pretty amazing live music, just awesome experiences for kids to be a part of. If people want to keep track of what's happening with this competition or see updates or hear more about it, where would you suggest they go?
Well, at the moment, if they want to contact me, it's info@nwsrc@gmail.com. Just while we don't have a website yet, there is an Instagram page where match fixtures will go up and that sort of business. There's a pre-tournament hype reel going to come up soon, so watch out for that. But so the Instagram stuff for the ongoing updates at the moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, contact me at that email address if you need to. It's nwsrcinfo@gmail.com.
Very good.
So the old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. And I think, we often talk in rugby circles about the challenges that rugby is facing in Australia. I mean, anybody can look at the Waratahs record this season, 1-7, and find that pretty tough. I've been to most of the home games and I'm seeing that. We all know the Wallabies and everything over the last 10 years have had the challenges. And it's just good to hear that there are people around trying to, off their own bat, build something. And trying to make change. Do you ever take a moment to just kind of reflect on what you're doing here and take a moment just to feel that little bit of pride? Or is it still, because it's not up and running yet, you're still in mission mode, just getting things over the line?
There's a lot of that, but there was one moment, and it was sitting down with one of the guys from New South Wales Rugby, and he clicked the button in front of me and very nonchalantly said to me, "And the competition's live." And then just moved on with the other thing. And for me, that was massive.
Big.
I was like, oh, wow.
So on like Rugby Explorer competition.
Yeah. Like people can register now and play, their son can play.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. That's now, granted, since then, a school's pulled down. We've got another school in. Everything's a mess. But it's, that was a big moment.
Mm.
And on the 3rd of May at Redfield College at 2:00, when we kick off the first game of the championship, that's going to be another big moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the schools are super psyched. The home teams, now William Clark's going to be opening up as the first away game for them, but they've juicing up their school about their home games. Everybody is really wanting as many eyeballs on this as possible. I've reached out to the local members, Ray Williams and Matt Keane, the local members of Redfield and William Clark. So hopefully they respond and come to it. But we don't just want, you know, mum and dad there.
Yep.
Mum and dad, absolutely.
And.
Yeah.
And plus.
Members of the community, leaders in the area, that sort of stuff. Like, come along, because this game is going to be the beginning of something fantastic.
Mm.
And it's, and that's not just my ADHD energy talking. Other people have emotionally bought in now.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad that this whole experience is an opportunity to validate your need to build something. And mate, well done.
Thank you.
It's very exciting, and I cannot wait for things to kick off on the 3rd of May. Well, Jules, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming and having a yarn, and all the best for things in 27 days.
Thank you so much, man.
Go well.